also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it?"
"It is like the mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs." The kingdom of God is a flighty thing, a difficult to identify object or idea, a difficult concept to get your brain around. We often think of the kingdom of God as being the hereafter, the beyond the blue, the glory by and by, the next step in our existence. We often think of the kingdom of God as that which is yet to come, the not yet, the heavenly existence that God has promised for us. We are oft tempted to think of the kingdom of God as something separate from us, distant from us, not yet established, not yet here. And yet, Scripture tells us, and Jesus tells us, that the kingdom of God is here today. The kingdom of God is present today. The kingdom of God exists today. And it doesn't just exist in heaven above. It exists here on the earth below. The kingdom of God does exist today. Well, where is it? I mean, do we have to have a passport to get into it? Well, yes, and His name is Jesus, but that's beside the point. Actually, it is the point. Because you see, my friends, the kingdom of God present today, is the body of Christ, the church, the people of God, those who proclaim themselves Christian, those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those who look to the cross for the sacrifice for their sins that He made there almost 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God is indeed present today. But it's like a mustard seed is compared to a bush. The kingdom of God is tiny and incomplete, not yet brought to fruition, not yet sprouting and enormous like it will one day be. All analogies, parables break down. The idea is clear. Jesus was saying here in this parable that the kingdom of God is present in seed form. And it may be tiny and insignificant in seed form. It may be imperfect and incomplete in its seed form. And yet, it is present here today. It's like a human being. Take a look at the picture that was in your worship bulletin. Cute baby in a bucket. A cute baby in a bucket. Dad's sitting there giving me the most interesting looking scowl. It's a cute baby sitting in a bucket. And he looks like he's, if you take a look at that picture, you think to yourself, you know, he looks like he's kind of wishing he weren't in the bucket. And you can see there's water on the ground around the bucket, and he's kind of sitting in there going, "Can I get out now?" Kind of what it looks like in the picture, Dad. If you haven't figured it out by now, this darling little baby boy sitting in this bucket getting a bath is that man right there sitting in the pew next to my mother. Stand up, Dad. You know, it's been 72 years. It's been a long time, Dad. It's been a very long time since you were that little baby boy, since you were in a bucket getting a bath, and someone, probably your dad, snapped a picture of you. It's been a long time. But in this little boy, In this little boy that you can see in this picture is the man that my dad would become. The strong man, the loving man, the man who made a home for his wife and his kids, a man who worshiped God and taught his sons about the worship of God, a man who exemplified, truly exemplified, the love and the faith and the nurturing, caring presence of God, the Father on high. And he was present. That man was present even in this little baby getting a bath and a bucket. That man was present and growing and going to grow up. And sitting in the pew today, next to my mother, is still there, and you can see it especially in the shape of his head, Tim noticed that. Sitting there is the baby that was in the bucket. My friends, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is in many ways like a person. When they're born as a baby, you don't see the human being, the man or the woman that they're going to grow up to be. You don't see the totality of what they will be. You don't know what they're going to look like when they grow up. And indeed, sometimes what you see is a shock or a surprise. But my friends, the kingdom of heaven is present here today. But it's an infant. It's a baby. It's like my dad here in this picture, here today. The kingdom of heaven is present, but not grown up. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is present, but not yet complete. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is real, but not yet fully grown. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is still needing a bath and still needing nurturing and growing up. My friends, my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven exists in the church. And we look at it and we say, ugh, oh please, the church is such a poor example of what we are called to do and be. The church is such a poor example of the body of Christ. The church fails. We fight. We backbite. We disagree. We argue. We separate ourselves off into groups, not just different denominational groups. If that's where it ended, it'd be easy, friends. But no, not just different denominational groups, but within every denomination, there are splits and divisions and fights and disagreements and backbiting. Unbelievable dissension within the kingdom of God. Because right now, on earth, the kingdom of God is populated by, yes, a bunch of sinners. A bunch of sinners, a bunch of, no matter how old we are, spiritual infants needing to be washed again and again and needing to grow up. My friends, the kingdom of God is present here today. Even though we are imperfect, even though we fail to reflect that presence of Christ to others and to each other, even though we fail to be the manifestation of the kingdom of God here on earth in its completion and in its fullness, nevertheless, we are by faith the kingdom of God here. What we get in trouble, my friends, is when we judge us, when we judge ourselves, when others judge us by how we appear. Turn back to 1 Samuel. Notice what God said to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, and this is verse 7 of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look upon his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I give praise and thanksgiving to God that He does not look on the outward appearance of our sins, but instead looks upon our hearts and upon the Holy Spirit who dwells within, upon the real presence of Christ Jesus who dwells within by faith. When we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, the grace of God is poured into us, and God looks not upon our sinful outer nature, but upon the indwelling presence of Christ, His Son, within us. I give thanks and praise to God that He looks not upon our sinful exterior, our sinful clothing, our dirty rags, but upon our hearts. Which leaves us with a simple question today on this Father's Day. What does your heart look like to God? Do you have a good-looking heart? Or do you have a shabby heart? Do you have a good-looking heart? A heart that reflects the love of God? A heart that is the embodiment of the real presence of Jesus? A heart that is indeed reflective of the love of God? The grace of God? The presence of God? Or do you have a heart that is trapped, encaged, surrounded, choked off by sin, by self-will, by self-desire, by an unwillingness to serve in the kingdom of God, by an unwillingness to live by faith and not by sight, by an unwillingness to receive the unmerited favor, the unearned grace that God wishes to give us? Is our heart good looking? Or is our heart diseased? Diseased with sin, choked off with bitterness, unwilling to be giving? That's a question that only each and every one of us as individuals can answer, my friends. We were given, when we started, in Adam and Eve, a good heart. But because of a desire to have it our own way, because of the desire to be the king of our own lives, because of our desire to want to try to be God and have knowledge of good and evil, that good heart that we started with became corrupted and died. Died in sin. We started good, but because Adam wouldn't listen to God and instead listened to his woman, and because Eve decided to add to the word of God by saying, not only can we not eat the fruit of the tree, we can't even touch it, because she decided to talk to a snake, women, there's going to be a great big lineup in heaven of guys going to sock Adam in the nose. Guess what? You need to be in your line getting ready to sock Eve too. My friends, because of that initial fall, because of that first sin, we all begin this life with a deficit. We begin a life with a heart that is inside exactly as dirty ragged shambles of sin as the outside. Now, you may look at that picture of my dad and say, you know, he doesn't look like he's a sinner. He doesn't look fallen. He's cute. Yeah, he's cute. He has chubby cheeks. I guess he did. That sure looks like it in the picture. I had chubby cheeks, so you must have had them too, Dad. He doesn't look bad. Well, you know, in this world, he hasn't done nothing yet. except say, mine, 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 and no. I love the story that Bill Cosby tells about children and about how that, you know, you're not really a parent until you have two kids. Because until you have two kids, if something's broken, you know who did it. The one you got. But when you get two kids, then you're a real parent because they'll pass the buck either way and they're always fighting amongst each other. Yes, my friends, this little boy, you know, he hadn't done anything really evil yet. He hadn't been a well, I don't know, I'd have to ask his mother or dad. He hadn't been a bad, bad boy as of yet. But I know some of the things you did as you were growing up. And they were kind of like what I did. Not very nice. Being a sinner, being in need of God's grace, even this little boy needed Jesus to give him a good-looking heart. Do you have a good-looking heart? Have you received a good-looking heart from Jesus? Has Jesus done spiritual heart surgery on you and cleared out the arteries from all the sin and made it beat beautifully? Do you have a good-looking heart? Thank God that He doesn't look on the outside, He looks on the inside. Thank God that He doesn't look on the outside, but He looks on the inside. But that means we must ask the question and answer it. Do we have a good-looking heart? I pray our answer is yes. I pray our answer is yes. I pray our answer is yes, we have a good-looking heart. But my friends, if you have some question as to what your heart looks like, if you have some question about its need for cleansing, if you have some question, my friends, you're in the right place today. Because here we have in our worship life, in our prayer life, in the scriptures being read, in the sermon being preached, and in the sacrament being celebrated on the table in Holy Communion, we have in these means of grace, we have a way to cleanse our hearts. We have a way of receiving a good-looking heart again. Don't stay away. Don't stay away from worship. Don't stay away from the Word of God. Don't stay away from the fellowship of the believers. Don't stay away from prayer. Don't stay away from the sacrament of Holy Communion. Instead, partake of these means of grace and allow the grace of God to give you a good-looking heart.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.